This is an Open Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
The winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer of the year, Jordan Spieth.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, Open Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on The Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. And The Fan Sports Network. Hype horns going. Happy Monday, everybody. Hello.
What is happening?
Delightful little Monday morning.
It is a beautiful Monday morning. It's going to be hot next couple days. It's going to be hot. A little bit of a heat wave. Not too bad. Upper 80s. That's all you got to know right there. There's your weather report.
Thank you for my weather report at 6:02.
Your weather guy, Dirt's here. Looks like traffic's flowing smoothly on your way into work today. The I-5 South, nice and clear, 205. A little cloggy, you know, a little cloudy out there.
We get through all the bridge closures over the weekend without incident.
Yeah, a lot of bridge closures this weekend.
Traffic and weather every 10 minutes now.
Brought to you by
on the twos.
On the twos. On the twos. Hello, everybody.
I feel like traffic is the easiest job in our industry.
Traffic would be pretty simple. You look at a map and you say, that looks red. Hey, 205 looking a little bad this morning, folks. Might want to find a different way in.
There was years ago when I was interning in Seattle, they had one of their the traffic people was in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just off of what they called their bullpen, so where all the little desks were and the printers were.
Right.
She was just off to the side of that. And, you know, the host was really fun. She was a really nice gal. He'd bring her on. They'd banter for like 5-10 minutes when she'd do her traffic hits. And I went back there once and I said, very interesting doing traffic. And she goes, it's really not.
Yeah, no.
And I was like, oh, yeah. I go, how do you get all your info?
You get your insight.
She shows me this website that the company had paid for, and she shows me, and it literally said, like, I-90, 20-minute delay, I-5.
The entire thing's written out.
16-minute bottleneck at this point. And I just went, oh.
Oh, that's all you do,
you're just
huh?
literally reading the computer.
That's all you're doing, huh?
She goes, yeah.
to be fair, I think weather people do exactly the same thing, too. What's your weather today? Well, let's see. Well, right now, if you look outside, 54, cloudy.
I think meteorologists are actually doing work. I think weather sure. people are just
different.
Doing the reading part.
Drastically
yeah.
different. I think I could crush traffic reports. If we do traffic every day, I think I could do it.
I really don't want
be
you
better
to
than
traffic.
Our guy from Flagstaff, Arizona. Who I might not mispronounce things either. I might get the right words correct. The towns, the rivers, the lakes.
Yeah.
I think I know all those. Couch Street, Coot Street, which way are we going to go?
That is the most obvious tell they don't do their traffic from our state is the way
easy.
They pronounce everything.
You're not from here, are you?
The
no,
funny thing
no,
was, is the traffic gal, she completely poo-pooed what she was doing, and she goes, but they pay me pretty well. I get to be on the station because I'm already a sports fan.
Right.
They had sponsors where, like, they'd get donuts once a week, and then they'd have pizzas once a week.
Living the dream. A morning pizza? Are you kidding me?
And she goes, I get all this free food. I make good money. All I got to do is read the computer.
Right.
And then she parlayed it into an on-TV traffic job.
That's how you do it right there. That's the American dream.
That was the American dream.
One rung of the ladder at a time. You imagine getting free pizza once a week? How badass would that be?
I was pretty big on the donut part.
Ooh, donuts,
they
yeah.
had Top Pot coming in once a week, just and here. It was just like 7 boxes of donuts.
Here's your donuts right here.
That's a partnership right there.
I got a bathroom break with Danny and Terry Boyd at the same time. All three of us just walked into the bathroom, so that's what I got this morning.
There you go. You play swords with two other DJs.
Good morning, radio DJs. How are we doing today? Let's all go potty at the same time.
Yeah, Tracy Taylor, one of the goats, one of the nicest people I got to encounter when I was an intern in radio years ago. Just couldn't have been more delightful and nice. And when she got hired on TV, I sent her a kind little message. Congratulations. Look at you moving up in the world, reading the internet. Now you get to read it for television. She goes, I got to care about my makeup a little bit more.
You got to look a little bit nicer when you're on TV. But the idea of it is the same. Just read off the teleprompter. You'll get through it. You'll be all right.
We actually had a big debate at this time of who had the harder job, her or Diana Rossini, because I interned for the morning show.
Yeah.
But the show after the morning show was Softy. This is when he was 10-1 in Seattle.
Right.
And his intern half the time did not show up or show up on time.
Not hanging around.
And so they'd always be like, hey, Spray, can you hang around and just do it till he gets here? And I said, yeah, dude, no problem. I'm already here, whatever.
Double dip the chip, might as well.
And so Rossini would come in at like 8:30 a.m. before she blew up on and went on ESPN.
Right.
And she would do her recorded Comcast, Sportsnet, Sports Gal clips.
Yes.
And look, was she back there talking to her boyfriend, applying her makeup and her lip liner and searching for other jobs? 180%.
The entire time.
Were people working the cameras for Comcast basically providing her the four or five biggest stories for her to read?
Here you go.
Also, yes.
Yes.
And were they writing every word of her script out? 100% probably. Yes on that one. So we would debate who had the harder job.
Right.
And I think I ultimately concluded the traffic gal because she had to read the internet, but also she had to do the on-air banter with the host.
Yes, that's an extra layer. It's not just an update. If you're just doing traffic, that's one thing. But if you got a banter for a couple of minutes, that's a completely different skill set.
And the host at that point, it's 2009, 2010. Are we dabbling in mattress reads, bringing her in, asking... how long she slept versus was she doing any other activities in her bed?
Slightly offensive questions.
Absolutely.
You used to be able to get away with the radio.
Also true. Yeah.
How'd you sleep last night, honey? Was the bed firm or was it soft? Brought to you by...
I'll never forget when Rossini recorded her second to last. She did like three or four of them, I think, during the show. One of the producers who was also like kind of the... not the PD, but he was like an executive producer. He kind of swagged, right?
Yeah. What's his job? He's a swag.
I'll never forget that, like, Rossini was still around. She wasn't doing any more hits. And he turns and he goes, why are you still here? You don't do anything. You're done. She goes, well, where else do you want me to go? He's like, I don't know. Go away. Just went in the back. We didn't see the rest of
the day. Get out of here.
Go away.
I don't need you hanging around here anymore.
You're just distracting us.
Now you're just standing around. Everybody's looking at you. Now nobody's getting any work done.
No, nobody wants another Vrabel around here.
No, we
got a lot of married men in this room.
Two people who parlayed things into better jobs. One didn't end great for her, but that's how you, that's the American dream, man. Climb your way up the ladder.
It is the American dream. How was your weekend?
It was delightful, man. It was a good little weekend. We were busy. Lots of stuff going on. Mm. Brother-in-law and sister-in-law had a kid this weekend. So we had to go visit the baby. Got to go see the baby.
Got to see the baby.
Went over and saw the baby in the hospital. Everybody's doing good. So that was a big weekend for the fam. The wife was over there holding the baby. Mm-hmm. We already have baby fever because we're currently pregnant. Now we have baby fever even more. Now we're even more excited for the baby to come out. Mm. A lot of baby stuff going on in our household this weekend.
I'm always concerned or hoping everybody's okay health-wise, but largely I just, you know, I'm going to poo-poo the new baby thing.
You can throw some cold water on the new baby.
I'm happy for parents. Sure. They get to experience the baby fever thing.
Yes. Welcome to no sleep. Hello.
Give it, let's say, probably already there of like, this sucks.
Yeah. Oh, God, not again.
Tar diapers and no sleep, but I'm always happy for people. But like as person not involved with having the baby.
You didn't push one out. You didn't make this one.
It's always like a, how long we gotta be there?
Yeah, see the baby.
Is it a 5-minute visit?
I like doing the
10-minute visit.
The positive of the hospital visit over the in-home visit, although I'm sure we will do both when they finally get home, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. We'll wait and see on that one. The good part about the hospital visit is usually there's something going on, and it's like, oh, a nurse is, okay, we gotta go. they gotta check something, you know. So when we went Saturday, the baby came like midnight Friday night.
This is your brother-in-law's first kid?
First kid, yes.
Okay,
first
so
kid.
What took longer, you to get to the hospital he had the baby or you at the hospital?
Getting to the
baby?
Hospital took significant, not significantly, but definitely longer.
Okay.
Definitely longer.
All right.
By the time we got in, I think it was, we had like a 15-minute window.
Mm.
It was quick. You get in, hold the baby. Teddy sees the baby. He was freaked out about going into the room. I don't know what that was about. He did not want to go.
There's people that generally don't like hospitals.
Well, I don't know if he thought it was his appointment. I don't know what. But Grandpa tried to walk him in, and he had an absolute meltdown. It was like, Dad, I need you. So I held him out in the hallway for a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, this isn't for you, buddy. We're not, nobody's poking you with anything. You're going to be all right. And so once we got in, it was about 15 minutes. It was perfect.
All right.
Everybody looked at it, held it. Okay, now we got to test something on the foot. All right, see you guys later.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think we were in and out of there by like 10:30 to 10:45 on Saturday morning. Made it over to a Red Yarn concert in Milwaukee by 11:15.
There you go.
So delightful little Saturday.
That's perfect timing.
It was it. That's all you need. If you do the in-home visit, though, you don't quite have that natural, oh, somebody's coming. Oh, you got to do something.
Right.
When you go visit at home, the baby's just kind of laying around. He can sleep anywhere, and then you might be in for a longer visit.
I think the standard hospital visit average time has to be 15 minutes.
15 minutes, in and out.
15 minutes. Hey, how's everybody doing?
Make sure everybody's all right. Check on everybody.
You kind of come in like,
everybody okay?
Hey.
Everybody Woo-hoo. Has to come in all quiet like.
Congrats, is the baby sleeping?
Little knock.
How's everything? Oh, he's so adorable. Look at the baby. Look at the baby.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'll see you guys later. I saw the baby.
Do you guys need anything?
Right.
No? Okay.
We took him some candies, brought him a coffee. Like, hey, there you go. The only takeaway for me, other than congratulations on having the baby, was the hospital they had the baby at. Dude, the room? Are you kidding me? Three times the size of the room that I got to stay in.
Oh, really?
I had given the brother-in-law the traditional dad warning of be ready to lose your back sleeping on a couch because you're going to be in a closet.
Yeah.
So prepare yourself.
And you were wrong.
And I was completely wrong. He's hanging out in a luxury suite with a fold-out bed. Mm. Like, are you kidding me? Is it too late for me to transfer here? Can I have my next kid here? This looks great, dude. All those warnings right out the window.
My buddy just had his daughter's first birthday last weekend, so we went over there and it was at a park, and it was good. It was great catching up with friends and whatnot.
Park's a good place to do a one-year-old birthday, this time of year especially.
Well, it was pretty wild, though, because he got the only overhang with
the covered area.
The covered area.
The covered area is coveted.
And he said he woke up at 6:30 a.m. to basically stake his claim.
To go comedy or the area.
Because you can't reserve it, and it's like first come.
So he's got up. He's just waiting
so
at the
park. So
he got
up at 6:30 a.m. He got there. He set up all this stuff, and then he left and went back to bed.
Ooh.
And then came back like 3 hours later.
Bold move, Cotton.
He really just power moved it.
Bold? That is a aggressive elbow your way into the room. I'm taking this area over.
Dude, I'll give you a take. He's a 6'4 big black guy. Nobody is questioning or taking that spot.
You try and take that over, and then he walks out of his car and starts walking up. You say, sorry about that. I didn't see your stuff here. Sorry.
I told him that, too. I go, if I came up and I needed this and I saw you, I'm not even questioning. I'm leaving. And he goes, absolutely. Yeah. That's the whole point.
There might be a takeaway first of like, who's the jackass that claimed this and he's not even here? I'd like to apologize. I did not mean anything that I said. Welcome to your area at the park.
Well, he did the weird thing like 2 or 3 days later where he texts all of us in a group chat and he goes, he uses his daughter's name, and he goes, she liked to thank you guys for everything you brought and for hanging out.
She said that to him. Don't worry about
it. So we all just were like, I want to prove it.
Show the video.
Have her text me.
Show the video. Give her your phone now. FaceTime me and thank me for the gift that I brought, okay?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's just utterly ridiculous.
One-year-old birthday parties are a hell of a thing, man. Not a lot going on there.
Yeah, that kid wasn't digging me at all.
No, it's just, you know. Who's this weird guy?
Hi!
He's talking in a funny voice.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm one. Talk to me like a grown-up. What's the matter with you?
I mean, you know, there is that.
I don't need the Elmo voice right now. I'm a big boy. Come on.
Some kids, they like it. Some kids just look at you like you're an idiot.
It is really funny to watch your kid react to adults who they're not around very often, just staring at them like, what is going on with this person? Like, what? What are you doing? Teddy gives me that look all the time. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Looking at a stranger. What's the matter with you, man? I'm not talking to you. You look a little weird. I'm not saying anything.
On Friday, I got out of the show and I raced down. I was playing around with our Pelican friends.
Yes. I had some buddies at the tournament, too. I forgot that it was going to be a cross event.
Yeah, I had no idea what I was doing.
I was an alternate. They had asked me, and I'm like, I don't think I can play Friday, but I had not even connected the dots. You guys were all playing in the same golf tournament.
Well, they asked you to play?
They were fourth, almost backed out, and so I was checking calendars, and I couldn't make it happen.
Well, they were absolutely going all in to try to win the event.
Okay.
And I loved how like I confronted them because I saw them at the very end of the tournament.
Yeah.
And I said, we finished with a 12 under, not bad, but the winner was at like 19 or something.
Right.
And I checked the ranking because I had to run the app, and your buddies were second or
third. Ooh, they gave it a run, huh?
Oh, look at you guys.
Couple of ringers in that group.
Acting like you weren't trying all hard.
Maybe if you would have invited me, buddies, I'm looking at you, maybe it would have been the final missing ingredient.
Well, it was awkward because one of your buddies came up and said hi. Like, I was very confused. I got invited to play a scramble, but I didn't really know it was this big tournament.
Yes.
So I show up, there's jet boats, and there's parking.
I have played in this one before. I know what tournament you speak of.
I had no idea.
There's a lot going on at this tournament.
There's a ton. So I get out of the parking lot. Do I bring my clubs now? Do I leave it here? Right. I didn't know what the protocol was. I brought my clubs.
Right.
All these people and food trucks. Really good setup.
Yeah.
And your buddy comes up and says hi, and I can't you know, I'm looking behind me and there's just all these people. I can't see who said hi.
Right, just a mass of humanity.
And then he says, hey, Brandon. And then he says, it's me. And he says his full name. And I go, I know who you are.
He reintroduced himself.
It's very awkward.
I mean, you're a big radio star. He doesn't know if you remember him. You're out here signing autographs.
I've hung with him like five times.
Signing bald heads. There's bald guys that wait outside the studio for you. And you sign the top of their head every single day. You're a big deal over there,
man. You know, when the baldies want you to sign their heads.
When you're an FM radio star, you never know. People are going to remember you out there.
It's very awkward.
I love the full reintroduction. Like, yeah, dude, I know.
And then he like secretly recorded me on the range.
He did. I got
that
a video.
Felt very uncomfortable.
I did. I got a video from behind the bushes.
It was an absolutely horrific shot.
It was not a good swing.
Pulled it all the way left.
I was going to say it did not look like a good range.
It didn't feel good at all.
No, that was not an accurate shot. Oh, I was just hoping the rest of the round was going to go a little bit better than that.
Well, and then we got to they had a raffle ticket, so they did the helicopter drop ball thing.
Yes,
which is really underrated. Kick ass.
It's a very cool thing.
Yeah. This helicopter's doing turning all super hard. There's a guy just hanging out. He's like,
here's your gold ball.
I just kept thinking, what if he just fell out right now?
Would not be good.
He'd be dead.
You might probably cancel the golf tournament at that point. Although everybody's there, you know.
I don't think you should be canceling.
We're here for a good time. I didn't know the guy. It's
you
a sad story.
You think if the guy fell out of the helicopter, you cancel the tournament?
All right, guys, that's it. Everybody pack up and go home. We got a dead guy on the putting green.
Tag it and bag it, dude. We got a golf tournament to play in.
I drove 45 minutes south to come play golf today. It's not my fault you did this.
Dude, don't hang out of a helicopter.
Yeah, you probably should hold on a little bit tighter.
It's Woodburn.
I mean, this is my point. Bag it and tag it. What are we doing?
I mean, I was trying to hit my practice putts right here. I was, you know.
Well, we did the raffle.
He splattered in the green.
And the Pelican guys bought a ton of raffle tickets, right? And these prizes, first of all, they're like 20 to 30 minutes behind the start time of our tee time. So we're now playing the guessing game. When are we actually going to tee off?
Yeah. Yes.
And so we're doing these raffle prizes. And they got pretty good prize TVs and Blackstones.
Cool.
And all the bags with putters in them and drivers.
Yeah.
And one of the guys in the group, we only won once as a group. I had a bunch of raffle tickets. Other Pelican guys had raffle tickets. And one of the guys was not a Pelican guy, was invited by our Pelican friends, wins the only prize of our group. So our Pelican guy bought all the tickets.
Ooh. And he didn't win.
And he doles them out to all of us, right? So all four of us have an equal amount. And so they're rattling off the numbers. And it's two beach chairs. I would say it was some of the worst prizes of the collective prizes.
Yes,
right?
this category.
So they call the number. It ends up being one of the non-Pelican guys that's golfing with us. He comes up. He won it. And he grabs the chairs. And it's me. It's our Pelican friend Ryan. And it's another individual. He came out of nowhere. We didn't know where he was. He grabs the prizes, he turns, he goes, woo, and he walks away. And our guy, Ryan, leans in, he goes, I actually need two camping chairs.
I can use a couple.
I bought those tickets.
Do I send a text and
he goes,
say,
do I say anything? I
don't think he's going to give them to me. This is my foursome, those were technically my raffle tickets.
And I go, I don't think you say anything. You play this one by ear. You have to see and test.
Yes.
What do you do? What's the protocol? Because I said, if I win the TV, the Blackstone,
right,
or a teddy bear,
some mega prize,
I'm handing this to you.
Yeah. Do you need it? If maybe he already has a Blackstone and doesn't need it.
No,
but
I'm not even asking.
You're not even
I'm
asking.
Handing it to you. And you're either saying, no, please keep this. I can't take it. Or we figure out a different thing, right? So this guy grabs the chairs. He walks away from us.
I'm out.
We then have to go to our carts to finally tee off. We see him with the chairs at the carts, and me and our guy, Ryan, kind of look at each other like, let's see what's going to happen here.
I don't know if you're going to get those chairs.
And he goes, hold on, boys. Let me go take the chairs to the truck. Kind of just sat there like, I don't think he's going to give them to
you. Is he going to say anything? Is anybody going to say anything?
I don't think he's going to give you these chairs. I'm not going to give you these chairs.
You're not getting these chairs.
So he comes back, and our guy, Ryan, does it. He goes, yeah, you know, you're just going to keep those chairs, huh?
Ooh.
And he goes, or, I mean, if you want those chairs, I just didn't want to put them in my golf cart, but they're in my truck if you want them.
We'll grab them after the round.
And at that point, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
So he goes, no, go ahead. You keep them.
Yeah.
You clearly need more. Meat.
Now I know why you guys didn't win the tournament. We had a little cart tension going before the opening tee shot.
It was, I got interesting.
This is a cut, although I will
admit. I then
admit,
found out he was a Park Rose man. I went, of course a Park Rose guy.
Yeah, this is bad for
I just, look, Park Rose already had a reputation.
We got stereotypes out here we're trying to get rid of, and this is not helping the process. Although, can I tip my hat to this golf tournament? This does create weird cart energy, so maybe that affected your play the first couple of holes. Doing the raffle prizes before instead of after, brilliant move.
It would have been brilliant if they executed it the way they
should
have.
You got to be off on time. That's the only hang-up.
Yeah.
But in the aftermath of it, let's be honest. Like, at most golf tournaments, when we give away the prizes at the Fan Golf Classic, half the place is cleared out by the time we do it.
Because it's only like three or four.
Because you know you haven't won the prize, and if you weren't in the running to win, then it's just a few groups late. You got to tabulate all the scores. It's a long process. And so if you got raffle stuff, don't wait around till the end. Get rid of it now.
The guy reading numbers, nobody was claiming the number. He'd say it like three times. So he finally lays out these rules. We're going to say the number. And if you don't come up and yell and tell us you've won, we're moving to the next. And then literally right after he says this, he calls the number again. All right, 1, 2, 3, one more time. I'm like, you're not even abiding by your own standard of rules. You just set the law.
You got to follow the rules. So, move on to the next number, buddy.
It's a good tournament. The prizes were great. Actually, the pacing of everything, like, we didn't play like a six-hour round.
That's always the concern. Golf tournaments can take a long time. If you get it done in a timely fashion, it's a good little day at the course.
You get invited to a golf tournament and somebody gives you raffle tickets, you should give the prize to the person that bought the raffle tickets.
Agree with that. Yeah. Agree with that completely. I'm also, was it a scramble?
Yeah.
I'm a big scramble fan. I love playing in scrambles.
I got to swing out of my butt 80,000 different times. They played a lot of my shots, which made me feel really good.
Makes you feel good,
I played
right?
pretty well out
but
there.
But there's not a lot of pressure on any shot because you can get somebody out there in the fairway. I'm a big, like, I am pro scramble.
Yeah.
We need more scrambles in golf.
It was good, dude.
Go have a good time with your buddies, a little bit of teamwork involved, and don't hit your ball that you don't hit the second shot 10 yards in front of the tee box.
Well, we'll move on from our weekend shenanigans. There were other things that happened this weekend.
There were.
Did you catch Yong Fever?
I mean, how do you not? He dunked. Did you see that dunk?
I've never seen a player dunk like that.
Did you see that
Unfortunately,
dunk?
Unfortunately, Yong caught Yong Fever.
He did, yeah.
He did, yeah.
He was a little too ill for game two.
And now there's reports that he's not going to play anymore.
That's all we get? We just get one? I just get a nibble?
You just get taste.
I want the full bite of you.
Well, you will when he's the fifth center coming into the start of the season. We also had a signing on Friday.
We did. Did we, dare I say, get a shooter?
Do we need to call that we predicted exactly how this all happened, or do we just...
We got beat great G2.0. Because
I heard through the grapevine somebody that covers the Blazers says this isn't it. And I was like, okay.
I think this might be it, guys.
All right.
I think this might be it.
So we'll get into all that today. It's a busy little show, Dirt and Sprague. Let's get it going next, 105.1 The Fan. Body. Welcome back in. 6:29 on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. Good morning. Hope your weekend went well. Got a lot to get into today. Victor Wembanyama did the thing that I actually said months ago I was terrified he would do.
Yeah, bastard. That French bastard.
Least surprising news I'd seen. I'd seen the reaction, and I'm like, why are people surprised by this? He's literally said money does not matter to him.
He's also still making a lot of money, and he lives in Texas. And I don't know if you know about this, but Texas taxes, that's not a bad deal for him.
Probably has a nice little setup in Paris when he wants to leave.
I think the guy's doing just fine financially.
So we'll dive into that. People have put out a quarterback list, so now we're really hot and bothered by the rankings of the NFL quarterbacks.
I'm ready to yell. You throw it at me anytime, I'm ready to yell. How dare you?
I've reached a conclusion that your boy is the most polarizing, contentious quarterback in
the entire
National
Football
League.
Is he the most debated one in the top 10 today?
I think he is.
Yeah.
I don't know if other people feel that way, but in reading and hearing, I feel like your guy is the most polarizing one on the list.
Yes, because people in the NFL love him, and fans who care about playoff wins don't understand any of it.
Yes, that is very
true. Nothing but excuses.
The Seattle Seahawks sold this weekend.
They did. A lot of money.
$9.6 billion.
Is Jody going to pay for the Moda Center rebuild with that $9 billion?
She doesn't own the building anymore. She sold it for a dollar.
Isn't it supposed to go to charitable causes? How about the city of Portland being a charitable cause and pay for the damn arena, you witch?
We'll talk with Ian Furness coming up at 8:05 about the Seahawks' new owner. It is the All-Star break, so we'll talk to him about why the Mariners suck so bad.
Welcome to the All-Star break, everybody. Mm. I forgot baseball was still going on until I was reminded the Home Run Derby's tonight.
I didn't know the Home Run Derby was tonight until Swag said it. I'm like, cool, the Netflix Home Run Derby.
Yes.
Can't wait.
Back. Do we get Berman back on the call?
No. Who's doing the broadcast for Netflix?
I don't know the answer to that.
I have no idea.
Michael Irvin's a part of it because I brought that up last week. I don't know what Michael Irvin's doing, but the FIFA Jameis Winston thing has worked, so I think that's a thought process. Mm. Funny football guy, get him on, have him yell, but I don't know who's calling it.
I'll give you a take. You should find out where the highest percentage of homers is hit for like three different batters or four different batters.
Find the hot spots in the outfield.
And then you send Irvin into the crowd
to try and catch home runs
with a mic.
That's a good idea.
Going crazy. and reacting to what he's seeing from his vantage point. I don't know if they're going to do that, but...
According to AI, Matt Vesgergen.
Oh, that's right. He's the Netflix guy. Yeah.
Elle Duncan will be part of it because she went to Netflix.
Yes.
Our girl Lauren Shahadi is going to be the on-field reporter.
That yeah, I might check it out. I might watch
that
it.
That gets you to...
I mean, I like watching home runs.
Netflix.
I'll turn it on.
Bonds, Pujols are supposedly a part of it.
Okay.
Oh, they're participating?
I should remember this because this was there.
CeCe Sabathia. So a lot of the MLB network types
folks
will be involved in this.
They've only done one game. The only game they did all year was the opening game, which should have shown me what my season was going to look like. Mm. But now that you're reminding me of this, all those folks, I think were on the opening night call, too, of the Netflix game.
Yeah, so we'll talk with Furness. We'll dive into Blazers. Ja made his media debut.
They gave him a nice polo.
Kind of, sort of. Very, I still think, very odd to do it that way.
Here's your team polo. Go stand in front of the reporters.
General manager didn't talk at all.
No.
All right. And we signed somebody, too. We could have had somebody reacting to Ja coming in and why they did that, paired with, this is why we signed this player that nobody
they
has
didn't
heard
even
of.
Have, like, a table or a banner.
No,
he
just stood in a room.
Here's a little meeting room.
I was told it was a Memphis guy who was already there for summer league reasons.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hyken, Quick, Golliver, Orem.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did not recognize any other voices watching the press conference.
Really?
Yeah. I heard, like I'm saying, of any other reporter. I didn't hear any other reporters.
Oh, no, that's who I know was, that was it. That was the only
heard all
that
of them ask questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got some stuff out of it, but the timing of it and the feel of it, very weird.
Very odd. Young Hansen made his debut. We'll talk about that coming up today. But I want to start with the World Cup. We got the semis.
Semis are set.
Yeah.
We participate much this weekend.
Pretty good Saturday
of action.
I watched
probably 37% of the soccer on Saturday.
Of like both matches?
Total matches. Yeah, probably about 20% of each game.
Okay.
They were both compelling. I love the England celebration at the end. I saw the final 20-ish minutes of that game probably and turned it on. And then I missed the start of the Argentina game and then watched a good chunk of the aftermath of that one.
I should have gambled because I text Patrick before Norway, England. England's going to win 2-1.
Ooh, you had the number in your head.
And then I text him Argentina's going to be Switzerland 3-2, but they won 3-1. So
close
I should have bet the over on goals with Argentina.
That was a close call. They were all entertaining, though. All the games delivered. I thought they were all, you know, from the time that I watched, they were all fun to watch.
I haven't. Look, I'm just going to give my 2 cents on this because I'm not. I think a lot of people who are not diehard soccer fans have started to tune out.
Mm.
Now, we'll have to wait to see what the TV ratings say about this. I could be way wrong.
I'm sure they'll still be pretty solid.
I feel like we're way overreacting too much to too many calls.
Ooh, yeah. The Switzerland red card are we talking about?
Yeah.
I know that one was controversial.
I know. There was the controversy in the Argentina-Egypt one, and everybody does the same thing. Oh,
yeah.
VAR, FIFA's making the call. Here
right.
we go. And I'm like, some of these things, I'm like, eh, is that really that big of a deal? Some of the calls I've disagreed with, I still am hung up on the Croatia-Portugal offsides call. I thought that was horrendous, and we should have had a tie match going into extra time. But I largely, like, I'm not getting over my skis on some of these calls that they're making, and I feel like the collective internet is
not
screaming
happy
about how awful or fixed it all is.
Yeah, I will say the Switzerland one is the only one. There might have been others in the other games. But I was watching when that happened, and they went down to 10 guys for the rest of the game. I have a hard time yelling about it because I just don't really understand the logic or the rules. So, when because I see that, and you guys can look at me and say, well, dude, this is the way it always works.
Sure.
I didn't view that as a dive. Like, he tripped on his own feet.
Oh, but
kinda,
he's kind of
no.
Selling
that was
it,
a dive.
I know, but he
the
he,
problem.
He
the
but do you know exactly what if you're running? Here's my point. If you're running full speed,
right?
Feet get tangled up. Like I'm sure you can feel your foot as a part of that.
Uh-huh.
But do you have a full awareness that nothing else touched you? And then you kind of like I get the falling down part, but I don't know the idea.
So,
and maybe people say this is what gets flopping out of soccer, and that's why you do it.
Yeah,
that felt very aggressive to me, but I also don't know the rules.
The problem was it
like really kicking him out of the game for that?
It came from the video review.
Yes,
because
they initially called a foul,
which
right
is where people
the
say the call was
the
made to go review it to get
right
him out.
Yeah, and so I think the rules are fairly specific that if you overturn a foul, then you have to. It has to be. I don't think there was much wiggle room.
So if you overturned the initial foul call, it almost is automatically a red the other way.
And that's what the broadcasters were trying to drill down with their rules official, and he sort of said it.
Rules officials are the biggest waste of space in broadcasting history.
Dude, they almost
always
agree.
They present nothing in any sport.
Nothing's clear.
They tell you what you're watching. Well, let's see here. It looks like there's a foot there, and it's like, yeah, I know. I'm watching.
How many times has a rules official on a sports broadcast made or helped you? Because I can think of one example fairly recently.
The
where
ones
I went,
that actually
that
help
makes sense.
The most are golf officials.
Agree with that.
Because they...
There are circumstances that come up that I don't even understand.
This
I'm
is
like,
the
where's
rule.
The draw? Oh, you do it there? Okay.
Here's what the player's options are. You can do this or that.
Okay,
you can
go back and hit it here. I have one.
Usually it's football because they have the most specific... weird, inane rules about a particular situation. Like if you're in a special team situation, the rules are completely different from regular play.
Right.
That sort of thing.
Does baseball have rules officials?
No.
No.
I don't think that they do.
They don't
do
need
they?
One.
No, you don't really
they
need one.
They review everything now and they largely get everything right because they've got, you know, the strike
There's
zone.
There's usually
and
a producer. Plus, they can go. I think somebody's wired up with the
Central Command.
Actually, their officiating is probably the best in all of sport right
agree.
Now.
Agree. With the review system in place, agree with that.
So the last time I can remember this was the NFL season where a ref, an official, you know, whatever. What is their broadcast?
Rules official. Or
rules official.
Yeah. Officiating expert.
Rules expert.
Yeah.
It was during the NFL season, and it was the Seahawk-Ram game with the two-point conversion that I claim should not count.
Right.
Because literally even the Seahawks players were acting as if it was a dead play handing the ball.
They had no idea.
But they walked us through why. I mean, I remember who is it? Is it Terry McCullough on NBC?
Probably, yeah.
He was like, guys, this might be 2 points for the Seahawks. And I was like, what?
What are you talking about, Terry?
And then he shows the angle of the ball.
Terry, don't you do this to me.
And I'm like, because Charbonneau just picked it up and handed it to the ref. We're really going to count this. And they did, and ended up being everything. Not like they won the Super Bowl, but they hosted the
playoff
game. NFC
title game would have been in Los Angeles had it not been for that play. And they maybe still win the game, but that's an alternate world we don't know.
Like NBA guys, I just find so, no offense, Steve Javy, you're not telling me anything.
I also don't trust when you get the rules officials in different sports doing different sports. Those ones bother me sometimes. Like, who's the CBS guy that pops in?
He does the college basketball.
He does college basketball, too. And I'm like,
Gene Steratore, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, look, I know that you did. You're an NFL guy in my head. Get out of my college hoops, okay? You're NFL. Stay in your lane. Yeah. You don't have enough bandwidth to do both sports.
Yeah.
So that one didn't make any sense to me. I was yelling at my television for Switzerland of like, that seems a little harsh at this moment of the game. But, you know, Argentina took advantage.
Well, we get France and Spain tomorrow.
Yes, we do.
And then we get England and Argentina on Wednesday.
Who's going to win the whole thing? Top four, first time the top four have ever advanced. Did I read that correctly?
I'm picking England.
Taking England?
Of the four teams left,
I think I'm rooting for them.
I'm rooting. Why?
I don't know. I'm not rooting for Argentina. They just won it.
You want to see the back-to-back thing?
France, like, whatever.
A back-to-back thing would be kind of cool.
Spain is like, people tell me they're the Iowa FIFA, so I'm out on Spain. England, I think Harry Kane seems fun. I like their Wonderwall song. I'm in on England.
I think I'm rooting for England.
Why
I
the hell
I'm
not, man?
England.
They haven't won one since, what, 60s?
Yeah.
Late 60s?
It's been a minute.
Probably going to be France.
Probably.
France
England.
Is a favorite, and if France gets a lead, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Sure. I just think that England team's feisty as hell.
When's the final? So we got tomorrow, Wednesday?
The 19th is the final. So Sunday.
Okay.
That's a great day to have a World Cup final.
Is it early in the day or later in the day?
I think it's like noon.
Noon final?
Noon one, somewhere around there.
I'm going to Tacoma. I got to get back in time.
get back
Sorry,
by noon.
Sorry, I got to leave early.
Got to get back by noon.
I'm
World
out
Cup
now.
Final.
Let's get to this. We'll get to Ja Morant's introductory into Portland coming up at the top of the hour. We'll dive in all the football dealings. Washington's broke, and their coach is out here talking about Damon Williams, so we'll talk about that today. Teed up perfectly for Andy Johnson. I'm like, oh, there we go, a gift from the gods. So we'll dive into all that. Coming up next, I don't really understand what the point is, and still not excited. Next on The Fan. Ja Morant spoke to the media for the first time as a trailblazer in a polo.
You might have to tell him about urban hiking. He's out on hiking, but he might be in for an urban hike.
Mm.
Said, no hiking for me, but I do like the outdoors. Have you ever heard of an urban hike?
Well,
John
he said
Morant.
He goes on walks.
He likes going on walks.
So this goes back to our conversation years ago when I said I'm an urban hiker and people said you're just going for a walk, and I simply pointed out there really is no difference. It's just one's on concrete, yes. One's on dirt.
You're an urban hiker. Yeah, I think he's going to be an urban hiker. Welcome to town, John Morant.
He's also a fisherman and
yes, he
he's
is.
A kayaker.
According to his Instagram, I guess over the summer, he's been very into outdoor activities.
He's very grounded.
He's gonna fit in perfectly.
So we'll get into the Ja Morant side of stuff. So Friday, did you watch Young Hanson or did you miss it?
I saw bits and pieces of Young Hanson. I didn't see the whole. I'm not watching an entire summer league game. No, but I did know when the game started, and I probably watched the first 15-ish minutes, and then it was like, all right, that's good for me.
I think we have the worst summer league team of all time.
Yeah, like we're getting criticized for not. There was a picture of us playing Orlando and like the benches and how many people we have, and it's like, dude, we didn't have a first round pick. Our only interesting player of summer league is not playing in the second game. Like, we genuinely don't care. So we can criticize the organization and the owner for a lot of stuff. That's not one that's going to do anything for me.
Yeah. So the Younger, if you missed it, because you did, because I wouldn't blame you for, you know, watching it or not watching it, didn't finish with the greatest of stat lines.
No, he did not.
He had a 12 points on 10 shots. He had 4 turnovers and 9 boards.
Yes.
Couldn't
even double-digit rebound.
I don't know why we're still doing this. I don't know if this is the standard Blazer thing. And I see it in the media, too. It's not just fans. There's media members that are doing it. I've seen enough of it to just tell you, like, no, this is never... What's that? It's Mean Girls. Why are you trying to make...
Make this thing. It's never going to be a thing.
Yeah, that's him. We signed a forward center on Friday.
Yes, we did.
We already signed another center, and then we re-signed our backup center from last year.
Yes.
By my calculations, that's 3.5 centers.
He's fourth on the depth chart.
He is fourth or fifth, depending on what the rotation is going to be. He's not playing this year.
Nope.
They would have to suffer catastrophic injuries at that specific position for him to play.
If he plays a lot, you're in trouble. We'll just say that.
Yes.
Because that means two
he
of your
was
guys have gotten
hurt.
He was
still atrocious on D. I he didn't play in their second game.
He had an illness, didn't play last night.
He had an illness. And there's people that don't think he's going to play again. And I just laugh at this idea.
Like, why not? He needs every rep possible.
Darren Peterson's playing every single game for the Jazz. Does Darren Peterson need to prove anything?
No, he looks like he's 10 times the player Young Hanson is. And he's still playing in every summer league game.
And he's playing in every summer league
game. I don't care if it's embarrassing. I don't care if it's a bad look for the organization. He should play every second and every minute of every summer league game that he possibly can.
Absolutely.
And also, what are we ill from that you just played 2 days ago and now we can't play in a basketball game? Why don't we push through, Young? We need some reps here, okay? I just maybe having some stomach bugs will help lose some weight and get him a little more fleet of foot. You just watch him, and there's nothing that looks
because they take the two highlights that stick out from the game.
Sure, he has a dunk and a roll. There's nothing.
He can't move. He's not quick. He's not light of foot. Like,
no, he's not
struggles.
An elite shooter. It's one thing if you're slow, but you're an elite shooter. And so he's like knocking down threes and you can't leave him alone on the other end. He certainly has good vision. I give him credit for that. But it takes athleticism to play in the NBA no matter what your position is.
Yeah.
Like, we're worried about Donovan Klingon not being fleet enough afoot against some other centers in the league. And could he be a matchup problem if you get him out on the perimeter?
I think he saw that a little bit in the playoffs.
Yes, he had a really hard time against Wembanyama. Now everybody's going to have a hard time against Wembanyama, sure. But like, there's just watching him. And you never want to say never because crazier things have happened. But there is nothing that stands out and says this guy's going to be a legitimate NBA player. Mm-hmm. And he's going into his second summer league. He's going to play an entire year in the G League while sitting on the bench probably for a number of games to appease fans and ownership. And then outside of that, we're going to be probably right back where we are right now next year because there doesn't seem to be a lot of growth over his first year in America.
That's, yeah. Like, I saw our guy Gundy. Who still is a believer in Young
Hanson. He's still buying stock. We had him on the show, and he said he's buying stock.
And I saw his takeaways, and I'm like, I watched it too. Like,
these are not NBA players. It's NBA
Summer
League.
You're not dominating Summer League. Don't tell me that you're going to be some like real actual threat in the rotation at some point if you can't do it in year two, and then you're going to be limited to just one performance?
He's not going to actually play in games this year either to make him better. He's going to go dominate in the G League because he's one of these weird tweeners where he's too good for the G League but obviously can't hack it in the NBA. And so you'll send him. It's like the guy you send to AAA and he hits 385 in AAA, and then you call him up and you're like, why is he hitting a buck 79? Let's send him back down. He's 374 over a month. All right, let's call him back up. Now he's hitting 183. He's a weird tweener. He can dominate at that level because of his size and his passing ability, but none of that really translates to the NBA because he's just not athletic enough. And if you're that big and lumbersome, you have to be a physically dominant big. Like, if you're slow...
He's 7'3", right? Isn't like, he listed
yes,
as 7'3"?
He should be grabbing 19 rebounds a game and blocking 5 shots.
He
if
was
you're
getting kind of boxed out by Malawach.
He didn't have double-digit rebounds in a summer league.
Like
game.
You could go box him out, like if you lined up right
my
on his
fat
on the
ass
top
could move him
knee,
off the spot a little bit.
I'm pretty confident you couldn't actually.
I can move him. He's weak.
I don't think Fleet anybody on this show could move him at all.
Call him little feather toes, Young Hunt, and I'll push him out of the paint.
It's one thing you could counter and say, well, Wimby had like a 5-rebound game in the finals, and I would say absolutely, and we killed him for it. But guess what? He still is the depoy who also probably scored what in that game? 27.
Right.
And he still, blocked 4 shots and affected 10 others?
He can handle the rock and shoot the 3. And
sure, you can comp it to that, I guess, if you want. But the fact that you're 7'3", not dominating. I don't want to, destroy the guy. But also, I think we're fairly close if we're not already there for most. And I think we are because I've not met an actual Blazer fan in my life. Like a real one.
An actual person.
That actually believes that he is going to become anything.
No, and we believe in a lot of stuff in this city. I once believed in Elliot Williams, so I'm right there with you. But I have not met that person either.
Craig Smith had a moment.
The rhino.
But we are already, I think, close to saying out loud, what about that made us want to make that pick instead of finding a rotational... Not an all-star,
no,
but a serviceable rotational player. And oh, by the way, Cedric Coward, who we did not draft, had a great rookie year.
Yes, he did.
Made the all-rookie team. He has played multiple times. There's a guy with that kind of rookie year doesn't usually play summer league.
We didn't do that with Klingon last year. Remember, I don't think we played Klingon in summer league. And now he ended up having a good year, so that was fine. But I remember that being a talking
point. It's a real thing of like he's too good for summer league is the takeaway. And people are saying, well, Yong's going to play 2 games because he'll be too good. And I'm like, I saw him playing 1 and he wasn't that good.
Nope.
I don't know. Wave the white flag already. I am. I don't know who still believes, but
I think
not
I've been waving the white flag since draft night.
I mean, I'm kind of with you. Yeah, it was a ridiculous
It was
pick.
A bad pick to begin with, but it was even worse considering the fact that we literally had a top 10 pick the year before and took a center. And I don't know if people are aware of this. We can play multiple guards at the same time. Hell, if we want to get weird, we can even play 3 of them at the same time. Is it a winning strategy? No, but technically you can do it. You don't play 2 centers at the same time.
I actually disagree with you. And we'll get into this with the jaw stuff. I absolutely think they're telling you we're going to be playing 2 bigs this year.
Oh, we're getting 2 centers at the same time?
If you look at the rosters currently constructed, you can't have another takeaway based on who they've signed.
Denny Avdia's playing the 4. Come on down, buddy.
We'll talk about all of that. Ja Morant introduces himself to Rip City. We'll start there. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.